Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life. Celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you for being here with me today at Out on the Limb. We're here to celebrate life, to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. And as always, we have an amazing show, which I'm really excited about. The theme today is living in the no-fear zone. Ha! Love it. My first guest is healing artist and spiritual psychologist Christina Loving. Christina will share strategies for living a happy and fulfilling life. Christina, thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
So, Christina, I know that there is no one who does not experience hurt, pain, and challenges. And it is survival for us to defend ourselves. And part of that defense is closing down and shutting ourselves off. But that also keeps us stuck. We don't grow. We don't heal. So how
Yes.
do we open up so we can choose well-being and joy in place of the pain, the hurt, and the challenges?
Yeah, that's a really good question because it is the understanding of how we choose something. And I'd like to go back to my personal experience. When I was a teenager, I was very upset with life. I thought life owed me absolutely everything. It owed me love. It owed me safety. And there was just in school, I came across a poem by a Mexican poet whose name is Amado Nervo. And in this poem, the last three lines of the poem are, "Life, I owe you nothing. Life, you owe me nothing. In life, we are at peace." And I remember thinking, how on earth could anybody even say these words, you know, and it was obviously coming from the depth of his heart. And for me after getting past the shock that anyone would be able to say things like that, I made it my focus in my life to not only understand this poem but live it. And I think that we have that opportunity to do that. I think we just need to have a focus of what it is that we are looking for and what it is that we want to experience in our lives in order to start to get ourselves in that road.
Wow. Well, that's really fascinating because I think that there's no one on some level that doesn't go through poor moments or times where we feel that something is unfair, that we feel victimized, so to speak, by the circumstance
Yes.
or what's happening to us. We want to be rescued.
Yes.
We want to be saved. And you that shift towards how we can, you know, create change from within ourselves rather than the world changing itself to meet our needs and
Yes.
the world being the problem.
Yes, exactly.
And we all want that. If that change is out there, I'm going to be better. Rescue me. Yes. So how do we get past that?
Well, for me, I really see in my experience that one of the things I wanted to touch on this show, I thought, what would I talk about that I would have absolute certainty about? And I wanted to define the word certainty, that it means to not be diminished in any way or that it is total, the word absolute. And so for me, I have absolute certainty that peace is possible. However, I had to be clear, and this is, I think, where we kind of need to start. I needed to be clear about what I was choosing to experience. And, you know, I could give you a good example. You know, let's say if you ask people what they want, that's one thing. We don't have clarity in general. They'll say, well, I want money. And you ask, why do you want money? They'll say, well, because then I can buy the car I want, I can buy the house I want, I can buy the clothes I want. And then if you kind of dig a little bit further, well, what is it about this car? What is it about this house? Well, the car would make me feel good, and the house, I would feel safe. And if I wore particular clothes, I would feel important. So it's really not about the money. It's about what the things that you are looking for to have the experience, which is safety, feeling good, and feeling important. Where money has nothing to do with that. You know, money can't buy those things for you. So having that clarity of what it is exactly, the underlying call that you have, what is it that you truly choose to experience, and getting clarity about that sometimes is the very first place you have to go. Because pursuing money, I mean, a good example, there's many people who win the lottery, and years later you visit with them and they're just as miserable as they were before they won the lottery. They have the same problems, except now it's in the millions, you know, millions of dollars. They didn't have, they didn't have the clarity of what they were looking for when they thought money would give them everything. It doesn't.
Yeah, because when we're looking for those external things, and beyond that, I mean, I think, I mean, people say that all the time without really understanding what that implies, and you're hitting the nail on the head that we have
exactly.
These basic needs, and you hit on 3 points, and those are really foundational needs: safety, the sense of being valuable, the sense of feeling good. You know, that those are all that we're essentially looking for in our life. I mean, in my work, all that the primal thing is the need for to feel safe and to feel valuable. That's
absolutely
what we're looking for. And then we try to fill those gaps with these things. And
yes,
I think the shift is, and what I'm hearing from you is that instead we need to cultivate that within ourselves and then bring that into our experience so that we're
right.
Having,
yeah, right. To get that clarity of the desired experience, right? Then you get the clarity and then putting a word to it like that, like we're talking about safety, value. And then for me, the key is the universe is out there. You are in interaction with a divinity that is interested in your well-being. It's just that it can't send money down the pipe, you know. It's not wired to do that. The interactions that we have with the universe and divinity is much more subtle and fine. So if you started to ask for safety, then the universe can respond in that currency. You know, money is a man-made idea, but safety,
right,
the universe can respond to you. And for me, I think the critical point here, once you have determined what it is you would like to experience, the next thing is to live in the question about it. So not just saying, universe, I need safety, that doesn't help you, because it's just you're going to be blocked off, right? Safety could be coming towards you right and left, but if it doesn't look exactly like you hoped it would, you'll miss it. So when we start to ask, like, what does it take for me to have safety? What does safety look like for me? Then you might be more, because you're in the question mode, you might have the tendency to have your ears open, your eyes open, your mind open, perhaps even your heart open to anything that happens. And so you're kind of like a radar, right? You would be totally open now. Your radar is looking for this information. You've asked the question. And you will be far more apt to start to capture these bits of information that come to you answering your question.
I love how much you place emphasis on the question, because I think that That is just so crucial, framing the question, because we spend a lot of our time in our human life trying to find answers.
Yes.
And we spend a lot of time in the gray area without the answers. And then when we can learn to be comfortable with the question and let the answers unfold, and the focus not being so much on the answer but the question, and trying to frame that question, like what is it that we're getting to the root of the problem, rather than, the question is, I need a car. How can I get a car? Versus, I need safety. What does that look like? What is that like? We need to explore our questions more in depth, so then we can then allow that answer to unfold from the deeper place versus just like a superficial quick fix. So when we're chasing those answers, we tend to be running away, and they're not, as you said, they don't just come instantaneously, and they may not come the way that we even recognize as the answer. So I love that you're framing the question, because that's just so crucial to, and I think that's what people have a difficulty with, being in that question, because they want a solution. Fix me.
And you know, I always say, you come by this error honestly, and by that I mean, you know, when you look at our entire education system, what are you reinforced with over and over and over and over? What are all the tests about? What is all the information about? They always hammer into you, answer, 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 and they have to be right. If the answers aren't right, then it doesn't count. And so your entire education is about having the right answer. So you're always we're trained to focus on that, and we need to have a kind of a shift of perspective into realizing that that was an education system, but not necessarily life skills.
Lovely.
Yeah. That does not mean that, I mean, I have never gone to a restaurant and the waiter come up to me and say, I will not serve you until you tell me which are the ships' names of the three ships that Columbus had when he arrived in America. It's just because it hasn't happened yet. I'm still waiting because I do happen to know. But that doesn't bring peace to my heart, asking what does peace look like for me does.
I know this, so, I mean, this is, stands out for me here, is how you're talking about the word certainty and uncertainty comes up and up and up as a theme here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think, I mean, uncertainty and safety and so much part of the same. We're all looking for certainty. Again, that's why we're seeking answers.
Yeah.
How do we work through that need for that safety, for that certainty, for the answers, so that we're not caught in that cycle or that web or that trap? Like, how can we be comfortable when we're not feeling safe, not feeling certain?
That is a really, really good question, because there has to be a space where you must have either a sense of trust, a sense of faith, a sense of – and it's kind of hard. I'm asking you to have something you don't have, a little bit of a hope of well-being. And it's sort of like there just has – to be some place where you fall into. And we all can stand on the face of the earth. You know, we know gravity is going to hold us in place and that there's a floor. So how does that translate in an emotional way? And there has to be some place within each and every one of us that we know something is true. And perhaps that's a good departure place where that is true and is good. And if you go, right now I'm wigging out, my life is just ridiculously out of control, there's got to be one place where you know you're okay. And to focus your attention on that then, time in which the universe responds to your question. Right? Kind of like, when you played hide and seek, there was always a place where you had a safety zone, right? Where you could, if you ran into that zone, nobody could do anything to you. You were safe. So we all we all have that. We just need to remember what that was, that you could touch base.
That's such an important thing, that we're creating safety from something that we feel within ourselves. And so there's always a safe place within us, and we need to turn our attention towards it and let that support us through the times when we are very uncertain, when we're in question mode, where there is chaos. But we have to turn our attention to see it and focus on that to give us the support through those difficult times. Christina, it's just been so lovely having you, and we are closing in on this wonderful time with you. Can you leave our listeners with a takeaway tip that they can use in their life to really handle and manage the uncertainty, to create greater wellness and joy in their lives?
Absolutely. I think my tip would be, figure out how to live in the question. Just turn your statement into a question. That would certainly be my takeaway tip, figure out how it is that you can turn what you are evidencing to you in your life into a, how does it get better than this? Or how does this shift,
Right, I think that's so important. Again, that's the highlighting theme of your message is, let's make the question available to us, and let's focus on finding that question and being okay with that. It's such a healthy way to move through life, because it's what we're dealing with all the time. So, Christina, thank you so much. And for the listeners, you can find out more about Christina and the amazing work that she is doing at thelovingbridge.com. Again, thelovingbridge.com, and Christina works with you wherever you are, so everyone can access her amazing work. Christina Loving, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me, Nicola. It was a pleasure.
Many blessings.
Thank you.
Wonderful tips, wonderful focus for us. Focus on the question. Turn our attention towards the question. And we have more. Ha-ha! We have Bill Wheel, relationship coach, author, and founder of Love Pong. He has great strategies for living an amazing life. So just hold on for just a couple seconds for a word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back with Bill Wheel.
If you want the best way to heal from life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird. My next guest is Bill Wheel. Bill is a relationship coach, the author of New Earth Relationships, A Guide for Couples in the 21st Century, and the founder of Love Pong. Bill is here to share strategies for self-discovery and transformation through our interpersonal relationships. Bill, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful having you. I know I've had the pleasure of being on your show, so it's a real honor to be able to feature you. I certainly enjoy the depth of your perspective. And so, Bill, we all know that even the most amazing relationships require work. And often their communication is a cornerstone of a healthy relationship, and one of the things that's so easily breaks down, but we need to focus. We need to have amazing communication skills to stave off upsets, the confessor, and we'll all have times in our relationships, whether they're great relationships and certainly if they're poor ones, when communication is not the best. And so since we know, Bill, that this is your area of expertise, and so we'd love to hear your views on how do we bring about change and better communication in our relationships, even, again, whether we're having difficult times or even in the best of times, how to just keep maintaining great communication.
Okay, great. Well, there's sort of the lofty answer and the practical what do you do answer. Let me start with that second one because it's easier. And I mean, if you're, first of all, if you're, you know, you're with your partner and you're really both upset, the best thing you can probably do is not communicate, to go take a break until you can calm down enough, because people who are upset can't communicate. And that's simple. That's like a simple survival skill, because, you know, if you've ever tried to have a conversation, I'm sure you have, we all have, when we're both really upset, it's always a mess. It never works out. Not one time. Not one time in history of mankind has that conversation went well. So take yourselves out of it. Find some way to not so meanly say to your partner, you know what, let's take a break here. I'm not leaving you. I just need to discharge some energy, go punch a pillow, go walk around the block, shoot some baskets, weave a basket, whatever you have to do to discharge the energy, and then come back. And when you do come back, know that you have some responsibility in that argument. First of all, this is probably the person, if you're talking about your partner, that you love most in the world. This is not an Iago. This is not a villain. This is the love of your life, or, you know, somebody you love. So, and this is not an evil person. So if you're upset, the chances are that 97% or more, and I'm being actually speaking not hyperbolically, if you're upset at something your partner said, probably about 95, 99% of that is something in you has been triggered. Right? Because we just don't get that upset around, I can't believe you didn't empty the dishwasher. I'm gonna put my fist through the door because you didn't empty the dishwasher. No, we didn't. Somehow the you not emptying the dishwasher triggered something about how somebody was supposed to do something for me when I was 3 years old and they didn't do it, whatever it is. So take some responsibility for some of this enormous energy you have in your upset, and that is going to help a lot. And then, you know, the tool that I most like to use, and I really got this from Harville Hendrix, and who knows where he got it from. I mean, you know, Carl Rogers, I guess, and who knows where he got it from. But it's just really setting down to do what we call a mindful dialogue. And so this is where you actually have a prescription for your communication. So where one of you is going to talk and the other is going to listen. It's not back and forth. Once one person is completely emptied out, they'll be present enough to listen to you. So don't feel like it's like a jab for jab. It's just a get, what to do is simply to listen. So this is just the simple form. I won't give the complicated form because I've learned that the simple form is incredibly hard for people not practicing this. The simple form is you just get it. You just hear whatever your partner says. You might say, is there more or anything else? And you just or you might parrot back what your partner's saying. Don't be afraid to parrot it back. I mean, don't parrot it back like a parrot. But it's really validating for someone to say, you know, I got it. You're upset because I didn't empty the dishwasher. So I know you know. Don't just say, yeah, I got it. So some way that your partner knows that you really heard. If you just do that and let your partner empty out, it's going to be gone. Because when the other person gets you, you don't have it anymore. Whatever you were holding on to, when they get you, when they hear you, you don't have it anymore. It's gone. And then, you know, so it starts with, I should have mentioned, permission to communicate. You know, do you have a moment? Can we talk now? I'm upset, and I would like to share as responsibly as I can that upset. Will you be willing to hear me? And, you know, you try to use I messages, so it's not like you never empty the dishwasher. It's like when you don't empty the dishwasher, I feel not taken care of. I feel like you don't care about me, you know, whatever it is. That will do so much to discharge your partner's energy so that they'll be able to hear you. Okay, that was the, what did I say? Okay, that was the, That was the practical answer. Was that practical enough?
Well, Bill, you offered so many strategies and so many that are outstanding. I guess what stands out for me is that when people, the picture that you're kind of painting, and it's a powerful one, and the strategies are amazing. What happens when people are so caught up in their conflict? Because it's kind of like, you know, that's kind of healthy relating. But there can be people who are really caught up in, trapped in unhealthy patterns of communicating and behaviors that they're so trapped in. It's really hard for them to segue into these kind of healthier patterns.
Oh, well, I could tell you, listen, even for the best of us, that it's happened to Joanne and I, Joanne and me, in the last 2 weeks, in fact,
right.
Where we both had such primal stuff triggered. I mean, that's sort of one way of thinking about how we attract our partner. We attract our partner so that they will trigger us. Our partners exhibit something about our primary caregivers, whether you're your mother, your father, your stepmother, your foster mother, whatever it was, but something that didn't get complete, didn't get worked out earlier in your life, you found somebody to try to fix it this time. And now that person is going to push your buttons. And you can say, damn you, stop pushing my buttons, or you can say, thank you. Thank you. You are a teacher for me. And, of course, not so easy to do in the heat of the moment, but maybe afterwards you could say, you know what, you really pushed my buttons, and while I wasn't happy about it at the time, I can see that I was able to work through some stuff. So recently, I mean, Joanne and I have been doing transformation work for 30 years. I mean, you know, I know people more transformed than us, but I don't know many. And and that said, that doesn't get you, anything. You know, there's no place to get to, right? It's just like, you know, you're working with this stuff, and then you die. You don't die like in Nirvana. Nobody gets there. I mean, maybe Eckhart Tolle got there. I don't know, but most of us are never going to get there. But hopefully we're going to get a little bit better every day, every year. So it was really recently that Joanne, you know, and we get into this kind of dance where she triggers my most primal thing, being abandoned. I trigger her most primal thing, being humiliated. And we can't deal with it. With all our skills and all our tools, we can't deal with it. And we have our therapist intervene, and we do a one or two, typically a two-hour session with our therapist. And it's so useful. So, you know, people who don't believe in getting help like that, probably you don't even want my advice, because I you know, why even listen to me if you're not going to listen to a therapist, or you? So I just think, you know, if you're really stuck, get a really good therapist, somebody who's going to use this. I mean, because we didn't come out of it just to resolve our argument. We came at it to resolve some of this primal pain and put some of it in the past, and some of it to get some of it discharged so that it's not running our lives anymore.
Well, Bill, you said so many things that are really powerful, that I think the points that are so powerful. One of which, you're really talking about taking responsibility for our own actions, our own responses, our own behaviors. I think that's so key. In relationships, we can get really caught up in projecting and making the other person the problem, and it's really owning your own stuff. Then you went much deeper than that, too, which I completely adhere to, and that's what I see in my work all the time, that what gets triggered is our primal stuff, and that relationships are mirrors for us to see ourselves and to look at ourselves. And this understanding really breaks through all those illusions and distortions of someone comes along and they rescue you and they make you feel good and love is your rescuer. That in fact, that when you come into a loving relationship, you're coming into a continual mirror of yourself to grow, to evolve. And when we shift that lens to see our relationships in that manner, then we open up the opportunity to grow and use those moments of quote-unquote conflict to open us up to greater growth and opportunity.
That's the only place it happens. That's the only place it happens is in the conflict. The growth.
So that's such a positive and powerful spin, and I think that's so important. We're closing in very shortly in a wonderful time that we're having here, and so two things. One, can you tell us a little bit about your Love Pong? Because I know you have an interactive website and an iPhone app, and certainly all the listeners can go there. What's the purpose of the Love Pong, and how does it help us heal?
Yeah, so Love Pong is love. Yeah, thank you. Love Pong is love, like I love you, love, and Pong like ping pong. And it's an iPhone app, and it's lovepong.com. And it's something I created eight or nine years ago, but I just recently sort of made it commercially available. And Joanne and I have been using it for 8 years with really good results. It's basically a tool that's going to prompt you to communicate to a partner, and it gives you do it all in the tool. So in the tool, so it's not, you're not like writing an email back and forth. It's a way of structuring communication powerfully, responsibly, and lovingly to be in communication with your partner, whether it's about upsets or about acknowledgement, loving expression, and like that. And people who have used it report that it has improved their ability to communicate with their partner and the level of intimacy with their partner. So it's very good. It's kind of fun. It's really easy to use. You could use it 2 minutes a day, 2 minutes a week. Sometimes Joanne and I might not do one for 3 or 4 weeks, just get out of the habit. But it's amazing how it helps you kind of resolve these little things. And what it's doing is, it's like Love Pong isn't like your solution for if you have a bad relationship. It's not going to fix your bad relationship. Mm. What it's going to do is keep it from getting bad. It's going to head off those little annoyances, or maybe significant annoyances, and it's going to teach you how to be responsible for your energy in an upset, as we were talking about before.
Well, it's really prevention, and that we all need. I mean, what we all need is just continual and consistent healthy patterns within ourselves, within our relationships, and to be making those healthy patterns part of our day-to-day routines to create great living and great relationships, great communication, great intimacy. Bill, your message. You can wrap up. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say one of the things Werner Erhard always said is if you're not expanding, you're contracting. So same is true for your relationship. So if you're not doing a little something for your relationship all the time, it's contracting. So do something.
Beautiful, beautiful message. So for the listeners out there, certainly check out Bill's interactive website with an iPhone app, lovepong.com. It really helps support couples in elevating their consciousness and communicating more powerfully, and we all need that. Without exception. Thank
Amen.
You so much, Bill, for being here and sharing your insights.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Many blessings.
Likewise.
Too. Okay, well, we've had some amazing strategies from Bill about creating an amazing relationship and maintaining them. And we have more. My next guest is Lisa Moore. She's the author and thought leader of Positive Perspective. Lisa is going to share amazing strategies with us for creating more positive living. We're going to take a quick break. You don't want to miss all the incredible insights from Lisa Moore.
If you want the best way to heal from life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird. My next guest is Lisa Moore. Lisa is an author and thought leader on Positive Perspective. Lisa is here to share strategies and how we can live in the no-fear zone. Welcome, Lisa. I am thrilled to have you.
Hi, Nicola. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Because I know, Lisa, that we are, as creatures of reason, learning is a significant part of our life experience. In fact, learning is every moment of our life. And we will develop patterns of thinking and emotional patterns that will be sabotaging and will block our happiness and successes. Why are these emotional patternings that cause our sabotage and our unhappiness so difficult to overcome?
That is an incredibly great question. I think everyone struggles with those negative voices. And the reason for this is that primally in our brain, we are programmed for worst-case scenarios. And the reason for this is to actually keep ourselves safe. And in my book, More Infinite Wisdom, on the chapter Reframing Negative Thinking, I really dive into the reason for this. There's a reason that we try to keep ourselves safe by somehow creating this insurance in our head that if we think of every worst-case scenario, we're somehow preventing it. But it's actually creating a reality that invites that. And go ahead.
Yeah, what you're saying is so provocative. I mean, I see that in my work all the time, and it's just so right on, you know, right on point, because it's true. We're looking for safety. Safety is such an important part of a primal need, and we're always trying to anticipate, to cope, to manage, and a lot of that, and what we're trying to anticipate, of course, or projecting, is all of these negative expectations. And then, as you said, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So,
yes.
And again, we're not doing it to harm ourselves. We're doing it actually to try and protect ourselves, but it just feeds the problem. So that is so important. How do we get through this?
Well, just to kind of do with society here, just to explain, women have a tendency to diminish themselves much more than men do. And if a woman comes on too confident or without some of this humility, we have a word for her in society. But if a man does that, he's considered very weak or passive. And what's interesting is that the way you believe about yourself is how you're constantly conditioning other people to treat you. So if you live in fear and if you live in doubt, you're going to start to condition the people in your life to doubt you, because you're kind of the first defense of whether or not you're competent and trustworthy and capable, if that makes sense. So, it's a big subject, but basically, and I explain this in the book, and I'll just try to sum it up for the sake of the radio interview today, but when we were, let's say, caveman, we needed to have some expansive thinking that would say, you know, if I walk on those sharp rocks, it's going to hurt. I did that last time. Or if I sleep in that cave, I might lose my kids, so maybe I shouldn't sleep in that cave. And then when we were kids, you know, going to modern day time, we liked thinking like that. We liked, you know, playing hide and seek. We liked getting our adrenaline up. We liked thinking, you know, what happens if we, you know, run around in the dark. But the problem is that as an adult, we start to play all these horrible scenarios in our head. What if I lose my job? What if my partner cheats on me? What if I can't lose this weight? And it becomes this echo in our head. And I heard something that blew me away. I think we have 2,000 conscious neuroreceptors, but we have 4 billion subconscious receptors, and your subconscious has zero sense of humor. Yeah, your subconscious has zero sense of humor. So if you have a single negative thought, and you go to sleep, it echoes 4 billion times in your subconscious. Isn't that interesting and kind of scary? So this is part of why we do this to ourselves. We beat ourselves up for a survival-based mechanism, and it becomes this horrible drill sergeant. The drill sergeant essentially needs a new job. So that's part of why we do that, to answer your question.
Right. You're cutting out a little bit in and out. No problem. That happens. So, but thank you. I think it's good now. So I think, what a provocative. Can you just repeat that so that the listeners, in case you cut out, can you just repeat that about the subconscious and the conscious so that that point is made, because I think it's so important.
Sure, absolutely. So our brain processes conscious receptors. I think there's like 2,000 neurotransmitters or processors, but there's 4 billion subconscious ones. And so your subconscious has zero sense of humor. So every time you have a negative thought, like, what if I can't pay my bills? Or what if my boyfriend doesn't really love me and he's cheating on me? It echoes 4 billion times in our subconsciousness, and it creates these neural pathways. It creates these paths of the way we think. and your brain takes the path of least resistance.
Resistance.
So if you,
yes.
you know what I mean? So if you have this negative voice in your head that keeps beating you down, you're going to start to believe it. And everyone has this voice, and it can be retrained, and you can make it into a cheerleader. It just takes effort.
I love that.
I have people in my – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I love when you're saying we can turn it into a cheerleader, because that's a concept that people can understand and the listeners can understand and grasp, that the transformation, that you're giving a solution. If we get caught up in all of this beating up on the cells, and I particularly love how you keep highlighting that we're not trying to harm ourselves, we're trying to help ourselves, but it's very misguided, and it's coming from, and all it's going to do is keep reinforcing the very thing that we're trying to fix or heal ourselves or protect ourselves from. So that message is really important, and that instead we can replace this, because there's another part of our brain, Claire, that we can cultivate to create betterment through cheerleading.
Mm-hmm.
So can you give us some ways in which we can really enhance that or stimulate or cultivate more of that cheerleading?
I do. And this is such a simple exercise. So again, your drill sergeant is, I want you to picture your drill sergeant's kind of like a puppy that's chewing on your shoe, okay, your favorite pair of shoes. And you can either redirect the puppy and give it a bone, or you can kick it across the room. And most people are kicking themselves for every time they have a negative thought or they're obsessing in that. And it just takes a little bit of patience to reframe that. But one of the things that I do for people is, instead of thinking worst case scenario, I say be miracle minded. Think best case scenario. Think not what if my job's in jeopardy, but what if I get a raise? What if I'm being noticed? I wonder who's noticing the work I'm doing. I make such a difference. And I actually have a homework assignment for my clients. I say create a list that says evidence that I'm supported in the most wonderful ways. And write down 8 ways that day. It could be somebody opening a door for you or somebody letting you go into a parking spot. But actually consciously tell, or evidence that I'm prosperous, and you start seeing money on the ground or you get coupons in the mail. But when you start to reframe and redirect, it's like your paranoia and your drill sergeant relaxes and knows that you've got it. And then it becomes a cheerleader to redirect you. It just takes a little work, about 6 weeks of practice, and then you suddenly have a new habit. And you like yourself, and life starts working for you.
Well, I love that. I think that it's so much about, again, what we're focusing on and what we're really plugging ourselves into. And when you're talking about just really plugging into that cheerleader part and cultivating it, and that, and the 6 weeks part, when you're talking about that, and I think listeners will have this question, in those, like, how much do we need to do that in the 6 weeks?
That's a really great question, Nicola. How often are you beating yourself up? That would be my answer. I have students and clients. I want you to take a notepad. Buy yourself a pretty notepad from the dollar store, and I want you to make a tally mark every time you beat yourself up. And my students are floored. They really have trouble sticking with it for more than three days, because they're kind of ashamed of how bad they're beating themselves up. So go ahead.
No, it makes me laugh because I see it all the time, so I'm not. And because it's so fascinating how much humans are ashamed of behavior that everybody is struggling with, that there's no reason for us to be shamed. We can't become ashamed for no reason.
All of us do it. The ones that are talking about it are actually open about it. We're all doing it. I have my moments, too. It's just the difference is like, oh, yuck, where did that thought come from? That's not me. I need to reframe that. So because I usually have blue skies, if I have a stray cloud, I'm like, target, what's that cloud? Why is that happening? That's not me. And so I'm just very disciplined about shifting out of it, because I don't like, what a waste of energy. If you only have 100 circuits of energy coming into your head every day, how many of them are you using to beat yourself up? How selfish, really? You know what I mean? You're not doing anything but beating yourself up. So, yes, I love to tell people this. And they just look at me like, wow, I am doing that. Like, yes, you are. Love yourself.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you talked about it when we're illuminating the part about the shame, because let's just throw that shame away in that judgmental mind, because we're all human, we're all in this together, we're all all of us have to overcome these kind of primal survival processes and neurotransmitters and that kind of thing. We're all in the game. So we need to just abolish the shame and say, here I am human, it's humbling, and what am I going to feed? And that's how we can just really plug more into being so much more supportive and kind and generous to ourselves and supportive.
I agree. And I think when people fall or they make a mistake, you said it, the shame, I like to akin this to either pets or children. If you have a toddler that is walking and falls, do we go, oh, my God, she fell. That was hideous. No, we look at her and go, oh, you're so sweet and adorable. You landed on your tush. You're okay. You know, but yeah, when we do it to ourselves, it's like, oh, unforgivable. You know what we would, I often say to people, I'm like, God, if you talk to other people the way that you talk to yourself, then it's terrible. So thank you for illuminating that, because we all do it. And I think the first way to transcend out of it is to own it. Like I said, the tally marks. There's something about, people believe everything in writing. That's why the exercise of writing it down and making tally marks, or writing down in a list that says evidence that I'm incredible, evidence that I'm doing it, that I'm succeeding. And if you can write down even three ways, you're going to feel really good at the end of the day. And then that's going to ripple forward and you're going to inspire other people. But if you're beating yourself up, you're selfish and you're wrecking your energy and your pig pen, and then that's rippling forward. And it's actually hurting the planet, as I see it. So be selfish in a good way and cultivate happy, healthy habits that you can model to people. I think that works best.
You said something really powerful there, additionally, is when you're talking about the impact of what we're doing within us as affecting the planet.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, and I really love to hear more about that, because we tend to think of whatever's going on inside of us as just our story and our stuff, and what we become very, narrow lens, or become boxed in our own struggles. How does, when we are struggling, as you said, in this whole journey of feeding into that negativity, impact the world?
Every time you think a thought, but more specifically, every time you feel an emotion, you're vibrating frequency. It doesn't take a psychic or intuitive to see it. If you know anybody, you can tell when they're having a down day. You can just tell.
Mm-hmm.
And our frequency is contagious. Not only does like attract like creates like. And, I like to think, if you've ever been really upbeat, I compliment whenever I can. I provide frequency every moment I can. If I go to the bank and the guy helping me has a great tie, I'm like, that is a fantastic color for your complexion. What a great tie. And he'll just beam. And who knows? Maybe because I gave that compliment, he goes and talks to his girlfriend and decides he wants to marry her. And maybe they have a child that cures some world disease. You never know. You never know how your positivity can affect. And in the same breath, if you've ever been honked at on the road because you weren't quite paying attention and somebody was particularly cruel about how they honked, I always love that honk is in the key of F. A lot of people don't know that. But anyways, and they're honking at you and it hurts you. You feel stupid. You feel humiliated. And you carry that feeling. Or it makes you angry. So your frequency just changed. And then you're on the car, in the road, driving 60 miles an hour or something. And that affects the people's safety around you. And we make ripples every second of the day. And I guess maybe the biggest difference between me and other people is I'm very aware of the responsibility I have by the mood that I carry out in the world, because it affects people all the time, every moment of the day. So
I think
question.
That's so
thank
important.
You.
Yeah, no, it's a great, it's important, because when we're seeking motivation for betterment, when we're doing our own personal work and healing, to understand that our journey, what we do from within ourselves, does have a rippling effect on the rest of the world, and it creates betterment in the world. It's just such a reason and enhances our motivation to really put the effort into ourselves to make ourselves and the world a better place. And it's not just, it's not selfish for us to take time to work on ourselves. It's important for the healing of ourselves and the healing of the world, our relationships, the planet. And that's I think that's just very important.
I agree. And when you frame it like that, people are more motivated to give themselves permission when you just said it like that. That it's for the betterment of the planet, not just you. If you take some time to take care of yourself, you're going to be a better you, and the whole planet benefits from that. So thank you for allocating that time for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Lisa, I'm having such a good time with you. Nonetheless, we do have to wrap up. And so
this went fast. Yes, thank you.
It's such a good time. But what tools do you suggest for our listeners to stay on track and to really to keep plugged into all of this positivity and goodness that you're talking about?
Well, it's a special thank you for the listeners' time today. I've created a special page, lisamoore.com/out-on-the-limb/. And on that page, there's a special incentive for coaching, because I provide one-on-one coaching, which is essentially your advocate cheerleader to stay on track. And I tell everybody, if you want to lose weight, join a weight loss group or hire a coach. If you want to be better at business, hire a coach. If you want to be better at anything, you need an advocate, somebody to bounce ideas off of. I am starting my 9th book this week. My website is full of incentives and freebies, but the second gift that I have is a free meditation on cutting the cords. So actually cutting cords from the toxic people in your life to create space and to really experience your own beautiful, pure, uncontaminated essence. And that's normally a $10 value, and that's free. All you need to do is find the cord cutting. It's on there, and you just enter the word cutting. And I think the whole page, it's all set up for the listener. So those are just a couple things. And then, of course, I have a YouTube channel, Lisa Moore TV, that has tons, 95 videos, and it's in 130 different countries, and it's a wonderful, free, positive way to just 3 to 5 minutes, just stay on track, get your mind in the right place to start your day.
Well, I've seen your amazing videos. I love them. You're doing amazing work, which is so appreciated. And good news is, Lisa, you work with people wherever they are. So no one needs to not get Lisa's amazing work and be able to access all of her wisdom. And certainly go on that YouTube channel. Great, great stuff. So it's Lisa, and it's MOHR.com. And the link is in the message board below, so everyone can certainly click on that and connect with you. Thank you so much, Lisa, for your time, your energy, your inspiration, and your wisdom, and sharing with all of these insights with us today.
Thank you, Nicola. It was really fun. I loved talking to you. Thank you so much.
Many blessings. Great show, as always. And we are offering more and more insights each week, so please stay tuned. This is Dr. Nicola Bird. To get more insights on how you can lead your best life possible, go to my website, thewellness-network.com. Join my mailing list. Amazing stuff on that site. Thank you for tuning in. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.